Save big money on your next painting project at Menards. Pristine interior paint and primer in one is Dutch Boy's best hiding and most durable paint. It delivers a smooth, elegant finish while providing maximum scuff, stain, and mark resistance. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and get your painting project started today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G,
yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
I hope so, but I hope we'll see what happens. I mean, I'm going to let Scott and the team handle that, and obviously, it's free agency, and I've never experienced that before. And I'll let him and all the teams handle that.
That's Astros third baseman Alex Bregman after what might be his last game ever for the Houston Astros. That sucks to say. When asked about whether or not he wants to come back to the Astros, he said he wants to come back, but ultimately it isn't up to him. It's up to how aggressive the Astros want to be. I don't know that bringing Bregman back means you're winning a World Series again, but I do know that Bregman being gone, Joe, is a sign that this run is done to me. It's because not his bat or his defense as much as it's because he's got one of the best minds in baseball. There's that story this year about how he helped Hunter Brown with the two-seam fastball. Having a guy like that in the clubhouse is huge. He's well-liked. He's been there a while. He's proven he's a leader. Who fills that void? Who fills the void at third base? There's so many things that his absence would create. And the Astros are in a spot where I really don't think they have a choice but to bring him back. But I don't know that they will. And I'll say it again. If they don't, I think this run's over.
I think he has to be back. I don't see how you move forward without him. Like, Bryce Matthews seems like a nice young player. But it's such a void that it fills on your team again. And I know it's worked for them. It keeps working for them. But maybe not. Like, Jeremy Peña replaced Carlos Correa. That seemed cool at one point. I'm not totally sure anymore. You know, you have two issues in left field and center field. You have an issue at first base. You're going to open up another issue at third base? Like, it's just like they keep opening up these issues. You got Kyle Tucker around the corner. It's like at some point, like, it's just you got to replace guys or keep guys. And so I don't think Alex Bregman's contract is going to be absurd. It is going to be affordable for the Astros. If they choose not to pay it, it's because Jim Crane is saying, I'm not willing to spend more money. I do not think he's going to get more than what Matt Chapman got, which was like, 6 years, $150 million or whatever it was. That's obtainable for the Astros. They can beat that contract, which that is a Scott Boras client, and that is a third baseman who is pretty much on par with Alex Bregman. So, he should be an Astro. There's really the only thought in the back of my mind, Paul, where it's like, I'm okay if Alex Bregman's not an Astro, is if they then traded for Carlos Correa and put him at third base.
But you got the injury issues with him.
I know.
You're going to have to give up a lot to get him.
Yeah, that's why it's like, you got to keep Alex. You got to keep him.
Chad has a thought, 713-780-3776, on Alex Bregman's future with the Astros. Chad, what's up?
Yeah, guys, I could just kind of expand on what you're saying. I'll take it a second farther. If they're not going to re-sign him, and it's going to be complicated, there's going to be a lot of money involved, but it's almost, I would take it a step farther and just say, hey, the rebuild is here at that point, and I would look to move Fromber, and I'd look to move Tucker next year. And get prospects back and just rip the Band-Aid off and tear it down and get going. Because I think that if you try and either they're all in or you're not. And I think there are a lot of holes in this team right now. And you've got to eventually accept the reality that there's going to be a rebuild at some point. And if Bregman is out, I don't see them paying Tucker. I don't know what you do with Fromber at that point. And I would look to trade those guys mid-season and reach the benefits and get some prospects back, free up cap space, and just accelerate everything so we're not stuck in this mediocrity of what could be coming here. Because so I think there's a lot riding on Bregman and what they do here, really for the whole organization. Just want to get your thoughts on that.
Appreciate the phone call, Chad. I do like the expectations that we have. Settling for mediocrity. I mean, they did just get their seventh AL West in 8 years. It's the first time in 8 years that they will not be in the ALCS. So just keep that in the back of your mind. It's too early to rip the Band-Aid off. It's too early, and I think a lot of people who are talking about ripping the Band-Aid off, you would do it in the moment, but you would regret it months from now.
Yeah.
Months. We're talking like as soon as it's May, and you've ripped the Band-Aid off, and you've moved on from these pieces, and he said maybe wait till the trade deadline. Okay, I guess you could do that if you want. But I'm telling you, you go back to the Stone Age, you will not care. You will not watch them because bad baseball sucks and it's not wasted your time. It's not. It's not.
Yeah, I can't get behind tearing it down all the way in 25. I think in 25 you still – now, like I said, you can trade a Presley. Like, you can try to make some moves around the edges. You don't have to keep everybody into and go into next year. And like you're saying, how much more can they actually add to this payroll? I don't know if you can do that, but you can move some furniture around, so to speak.
Yeah,
I do think that people are a little – press the rebuild button a little bit too quickly, and it's because it worked for the Astros. But you can say you can say without any question that the rebuild undertaken by Jeff Luhnow when he got here and the success afterwards is by far the most successful rebuild in sports history that I can remember.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want them to rebuild. They need to retool. Like you need
it's
to
the same word though, isn't it?
It's not, because if Alex Bregman walks, that's $30 million that walks out the door. That means to me you should sign two players that make $15 million.
Are they going to be as impactful combined as Alex Bregman?
That's what you would hope for. And I mean, that's the job of Dana Brown, is that you have to find guys that, whether it's, you know, you look at a guy like Willy Adames as a shortstop, or you know, you want to go after a Goldschmidt or Pete Alonso or something like that. Like you if you're going to let guys walk, you have to pay guys to replace them at some point. Like you can retool it, but I don't want them to ever just like tear it down.
Yeah. Again, like the tear down was worth it for the Astros, but it's because, like Paul laid out, like seven division championships in 8 years. Like no other, again, think about like throughout sports, how many teams do the tear down and rebuild? None of them are as successful as the Houston Astros.
It usually doesn't work.
It never works.
Right.
And it never works out the way it did.
And things have changed since that.
Yeah, it's harder now.
They've made it more difficult for you to be able to do things like that. A couple more comments. 713 texts in. Breggs is done here. He doesn't want to be here. Stop. He does want to be here. The trash cans destroyed him. He never came back from that. I don't know what you're talking about on that front. Maybe a change of pace will bring him back. The run is over either way. Rebuild now. My God, that is very defeatist today. They did win the AL West. Does anyone in the AL West look like they're about to take that from you? That does give you the opportunity once you get in. You just hope that you have better luck with health along the way. And I feel like, you know, we talk about people that need to be on edge waiting for perhaps an unfortunate phone call or call into the boss's office. The Astros training and or medical staff, whatever the hell it is, whatever the hell they do, they are in the hottest of hot water.
Yeah.
The hottest of hot water. You are paying a lot of guys a lot of money and they're not playing. And I mean, I get it. It's unfair to maybe lay it at their feet, but come on, there's so many issues that they've dealt with from an injury perspective.
Yeah, I don't know how you continue just fundamentally with the same staff.
Yeah, they got to be gone. I'm calling for it now. They got to be gone. I get it. I don't know what goes into it. But if I'm looking at any fall guy, I'm not even really looking at any. Alex Cintron, I think, was a good just person to bring up as somebody who you focus on because the Astros got away from their hitting approach this year. They even said that they admitted it as much after yesterday's game and in today's press conferences. But the training staff, the medical staff, effing disaster this year. Disaster. gone. Bye-bye.
Yeah, and to the caller's point, too, about the trade deadline, and King of Twitch and I were talking about this a little bit earlier on the Twitch chat. It's a nice theory, okay, of, like, trade them at the deadline. Because you play in the AL West, and when you're in first place in the AL West at the trade deadline, you're not going to trade Kyle Tucker and Framber Valdez. It's now or never. If you were going to do it, I really honestly think it's now or never. I do not think the Astros will be in a position to where they will be at the trade deadline and say, huh, we're 10 games out of first place, our season's over, we're trading these two guys. If they were going to do it, they have to do it now. Like, that's why I think it's an off-season conversation. It's not a regular season conversation, because they're going to win the AL West next year. Like, they might not win the World Series next year, but they're going to win the AL West next year, with or without Alex Bregman, I think.
He's Joe. I'm Paul. It's Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Will Alex Bregman be back? And what should the Astros do next after their season came to an end yesterday? A 5-2 loss to the Detroit Tigers snaps their 7-year straight streak of American League Championship Series appearances. Stay put here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You're listening to Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
And now this could be Bregman's last at bat here in Houston. He'll be a free agent at the end of the year. They'd like to keep him, but we'll see if they do. Grounded to third, Ibanez across the diamond, two away.
Ugh, that might be it. Michael Kay's the one on the call for his exit. You can hear the smirk in his voice.
He's like, he's going to be a Yankee.
I'm 100% projecting, but I heard that smirk, Michael.
He's going to look good in pinstripes.
You know he enjoyed calling this.
Why did we get him foisted on us? Why couldn't we get this game on TBS? Why couldn't we get Don Orsillo? We got stuck with Yankee man himself, Michael Kay.
I am not going to blame one iota of the loss on this baseball and ESPN scheduling of this game. However, pretty big middle finger to be 130-130 and here's Yankee man on the call. And Todd Frazier.
Because
Tim Kirkchen, that's all right. That's fine.
I think the majority of Astros fans who have been following this team for a while are aware that Michael Kay is the voice of the Yankees. He's a guy who hosts a talk show as well.
He's the reason why the buzzer theory exists.
Exactly.
I mean, like, it was a...
He didn't put it out there, but John Boy...
But he put John Boy on his show.
He platformed him.
He made John Boy. Without Michael Kay, you know, and Michael Kay was part of the group that ran with the Carlos Beltran niece burner thing that also was a John Boy creation. Like, it is – I know you can't placate to, like, every fan base, but it's, like, it is a little disrespectful to say that this guy who has publicly attacked the Astros constantly gets to now be on the call for their playoff games. And yes, you can hear the smirk, the enjoyment in his voice when he's calling the end of the game, when he's all these things. I'm glad I didn't have to really listen to it. Instead, I just listened to Astros fans booing umpires every time there was a ball because they thought it was a strike. It was really annoying me. They kept doing it. It was during when Presley was out there. And every single time I would look up the TV and it was clearly a ball, and I was like, Jesus.
We were making fun of him on Tuesday when I was in here watching the game with the Killer Bees. We just kept making fun. Like, the ball would be like three ball lengths outside the zone, and Fromber's upset and the fans are upset. And we're just like, this, guys, everyone chill out.
Playoff baseball, man.
I know, but I this is a little bit of the Fromber stuff where he didn't have a complete meltdown, but I didn't in general like his his mentality and his attitude during the game. Just body language. Body language-wise, I didn't love it, and I think that rubbed off on the fans.
Jose Altuve's body language, when asked about Alex Bregman potentially returning next year, confident body language. Here is Jose Altuve talking about Alex Bregman's future.
I don't want to get to the idea of thinking about last game with Breggy. Like I said 2 weeks ago, I'm pretty confident that he's going to be our third baseman next year. We have to. He's, you know, we're not going to be the same organization without him. So in my mind, there's not a chance that this is the last game.
In my mind, there's not a chance this is not the last game. And he went further to say that he will talk to Jim Crane about this, about how he wants to bring Bregman back.
I mean, man, it's – I don't want to be – I don't want to – like, I can't imagine a world now where, like, he's not. And just the – I can't imagine the Jose Altuve press conference. Like, are we going to, like, see, like, angry Altuve at spring training when Bregman's not there? Like, are – like, well, there's no chance of, like – angry, doesn't want to be here, Altuve, right?
What would the moment be that would make him so angry where we would notice it? Because I feel like he would be able to hide it very well. All I'm saying is now, in this moment, he has multiple times the last couple of weeks talked about Bregman's future. It's very rare that you see a player in any sport talk about what he hopes for or wishes for the future of one of his teammates. And I do think that is very noteworthy, the way that Altuve has been talking about it for now a couple of weeks. This has been brought up multiple times with him. If he has any say, not just in the clubhouse, but with the front office of this team, you would think that they would listen. But to this point, I do not know that they will listen. I do not know if Dana Brown will. I don't know if Jim Crane will. I don't know. I hope that they do. I think if Alex Bregman is gone, I think this run's done.
I mean, I would listen. Who knows better about than Jose Altuve? Like what is, when they talk about this team and team guys come in free agency trades, they talk about culture and clubhouse and what it means to be an Astro. And you see all these guys come in and they fit in perfectly and they play to a different standard. And he's part of that. Like, I just, of all the guys, he's the one I would not let walk. There's a reason why you paid him once already. And I know it was a different regime at the time, but you paid him early. You didn't have to. You bought out free agency years. You didn't do that with Carlos. You didn't do that with Springer. You did it with Alex. You did it with Altuve. He should end his career at Houston Astro just like Jose Altuve. And when Jose Altuve speaks, they should listen. And they should be reasonable. And I would hope that when Jose Altuve is saying these things, that he at some point has a conversation with Alex of like, hey, man. Like, maybe you're asking for a little too much, but
I don't know about that. I would never ever tell somebody that I work with that they're asking for,
or like,
too
you know,
much.
Hey, maybe bring it down. Like, tell your
this
agent.
This is middle management Joe talking here.
Or you know, tell hey, Alex.
You're lucky
tell
to
Scott
be here. You're lucky to be here, Alex.
Just tell
minimum
tell,
wage.
Alex, tell Scott to bring his asking price down a little bit. He's being unreasonable.
Yeah. Just the veterans minimum.
Maybe start working some weekends. How about that?
Yeah. Let's tell Kyle Tucker to work in the playoffs. You know,
hey,
start there.
He's not getting paid extra for that.
But that's a good point. No,
actually,
that's not
he
true.
Is.
That's
yeah,
not true.
You get playoff
you
shares.
You get playoff shares.
We want you to be a player coach now because of the way you helped Hunter Brown. You're not going to get anything extra for it, but we want you to do that
when
for
you're
us.
Not in the batter's box or on base, you have to stand at third base to also replace Gary.
Yeah.
I was going to say, can you be the third baseman / third base coach?
And pitching coach. You're part of the team, Alex. Don't you want to stay part of the team? I mean, if you really care about the team, I think you do all these things.
We talked about maybe changing up the hitting coach position
hitting
on
coach,
the Astros.
Third base coach and pitching coach and third baseman Alex Bregman.
Would not actually be upset. I mean, no team actually does this, but hitting coach Alex Bregman. Worst idea.
Shock you if, like, the day he retires, the next day he gets hired by the Astros as their hitting coach in 5 years.
It would be a little surprising, but not that surprising. Yeah. I mean, actually, Michael Brantley, hitting coach. There we go.
Look, he was around.
There we go.
Please. Whatever. Or Michael Brantley.
I know.
Or tandem hire Michael Brantley and his dad.
Because as they showed us last year on television all the time, Michael Brantley's dad was his hitter.
They have two pitching coaches. They can have two hitting coaches, the Brantleys.
Yeah, but what are they going to pay him? I mean, this is where it gets ridiculous.
$775.
Exactly. These assistant coaches get paid dick. They get paid absolutely nothing. And you can't hire somebody who's ever made money to be a coach. You just can't. It's never going to work unless the person's obsessed.
No,
with the
game.
They have to be obsessed.
Yeah, I do think
Bregman. There's a chance, but I mean, you're making so little, and when you've made the money that Bregman has, you want to be away from your family for 162 games a year to make less than $1 million.
Counterpoint: we've seen two of the greatest hitters of all time be hitting coaches in the last 6 years. Who? Bonds and McGuire did it.
They're making peanuts back in the day. Zach DiZinzo makes more money than Barry Bonds did when he
probably
played.
True.
Probably had to pay a bunch in legal fees as well.
Definitely Barry.
Yeah. No, I realize what we just did there with the Brantley hitting coach is very sad day after that your team gets eliminated radio. Let's bring back all of our friends. Can Evan Gattis and Brian McCann come back and teach Yiner Diaz how to play catcher?
Well, Evan Gattis is going to need to lay off the Twitter after the hours of 10 p.m.
I don't know if we can do that. I think that's his right.
I miss
to
Gattis
free
on
speech.
Yeah, and where was Gattis during this series? I didn't see him online.
Games are too early.
I think he's been off Twitter since that last incident.
That was a good one.
Games ended at 4.
He's not up by then.
Yeah. I didn't say that.
You say Kikuchi-esque just for different reasons.
Right when happy hour starts.
Oh, God.
Oh, man.
This sucks. 713-780-3776 to call, to text. You want to vent. The Astros season is over. Should they keep Alex Bregman? Should they go further than just potentially moving on from Justin Verlander? By the way, what does Verlander think about his future? You'll hear from him next. Gallant and George, stay put.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
And now they send up Andy Ibañez to pinch hit for McKinstry. Hayter, 30 years old, and these are the situations he was paid for. Everything on the line.
Swing the line, drive down the left field line, hooking toward the corner. Fair ball, up against the wall. Fielding is in, Torkelson is in. They're waving him home. Torkelson around third. He will score.
Everybody scores. It's a bases clearing. Big pinch hit for Ibañez. 5-2 Detroit. Oh, my goodness. What a big hit off the bench off of Josh Hader.
I thought this would be therapeutic. This has not been therapeutic in the slightest. Not at all.
Can Gary call back?
No.
I can yell again.
No. Let's not go that far. Unless he tells us his baseball stats. That's the only way he can call in. But the problem is he changes his name so much. We never know it's going to be him until he comes on. Mm. It's always Derek. It's Gary. For those who don't know, and you're going to want to check this out later. You can check this out in the Gallant and George Show podcast. The first segment of the show, somebody called in and Joe just lit him up. All of Joe's rage for following the Bears underachieving season and the Cubs and the Chicago Bulls. It all came out.
Yeah, we went full rage there for a little bit. But it was deserved. It was deserved. You know, he tried to say we don't know anything because we didn't play T-ball.
But the problem is with him all the time, if he just got to the point, it would be nice. But he goes around in a circle and he was like, oh, T-ball, blah, 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 high school baseball, blah, 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 you know, the T-ball. And I'm like, dude, just say what you're trying to say because you never actually say an effing thing. But anyway, that was what I thought. The general consensus of Astros fans would be was more, not like Derek, but more just pissed and looking for answers. I do not think that Justin Verlander is going to be an answer for the Astros, and I do not think he will ever pitch for the Houston Astros again. This is Justin Verlander, asked by Christy Reakin of the Associated Press about his future in the sport?
You know, I do feel like I have a lot more to give pitching-wise. This year was a tough year. Learned a lot from it. And obviously, I talked to you guys about how I was feeling coming back and how I needed to push the issue a bit. Kind of a, you know, weird injury and in the neck, and tried as best I could to get out there and be an asset to help this team in October, but wasn't able to do it. Obviously, wasn't pitching well enough to be part of this this series. Having an off season to kind of get things right, I definitely feel like I want to continue to pitch and compete, and you know, not ready to step away yet.
Not ready to step away yet.
I mean, it just won't be here.
I doubt it.
It shouldn't be here. I'll say that. He should not be a Houston Astro next year. You have enough pitching. He's going to be expensive. He's like reasonably expensive. You cannot allocate $5, $8, $10 million to Justin Verlander when you just don't need to. You don't need to. Your starting rotation is Fromber, it's Hunter Brown, it's Blanco, it's Luis Garcia, it's Arrigetti, and then you have other guys potentially coming back as well. Like, you don't need JV next year. Hopefully Kikuchi's here.
I was gonna say you need to either bring back Kikuchi or Kikuchi like player in free agency or via trade, because I am done with the look at these seven guys. The Astros have enough pitching because we did that the last 2 years. And the last 2 years, what ends up happening during the season is that you're depending on JP France for most of 2023. You're having to trade back for Justin Verlander when they let him walk because they had so much pitching. You are now really able to credit the fact that you even made the playoffs on Ronel Blanco and Spencer Arrigetti, and then you had to trade for Kikuchi at the deadline. All these years in the offseason, we walk in saying, well, they have so many pitchers on their payroll. They have all these guys, and yeah, McCullers and Garcia, they'll come back in July, but you just have to make it till there. Every year, they never make it to there. Every year in May, we're already like, oh, they're going to have to call up Blair Henley to start a game. That actually only happened once. They don't have to do that very often. But they had to call up Spencer Arrigetti. They have to call up JP France. You just come into the season with too many pitchers, because I guarantee you by June and July, you will not have too many pitchers.
Yes, but one of them should not be Justin Verlander.
Agreed, because he's not sure enough of a bet for what he's going to ask for.
It doesn't sound like it's going to be Verlander. This is Dana Brown today talking about Verlander. Ultimately, it sounds like he wants to come back, but we're going to have some discussions with our front office as to what's best for the team. That is a polite, yeah, he's not coming back.
He's going to be a Tiger.
That does seem to check out. Now, as far as what Sean was just talking about, how the Astros and we always talk about all the depth they have going into the year, it's already effing starting again. Here is Dana Brown talking about the rotation. Our rotation is going to be pretty stacked, and I think that's a good place to be. Well, okay, but is Kikuchi coming back? Interestingly enough, Dana Brown said Christian Javier and Jose Urquidy are both projected to return at the end of July. Hopefully it's earlier. Well, with timelines and injuries with the Astros, you can't ever trust that. I also hope it's earlier, but I mean, Urquidy, who has another arbitration option, talking about him as if he is returning after yet another serious injury, that is surprising to read. And how many guys can you have on your team that aren't ready to go that you're paying money to? Yeah, you already have, you know, Lance McCullers, $17 million. There's still, I think, two more years of that contract. Mm-hmm.
Because the Urquidy is interesting, because I think I'm more confident that Urquidy pitches next year for the Astros than Christian Javier, just because of the fact that he's a free agent. Like, you might bend the rules a little bit of like pushing him out there, where Javier you're going to want to save, you know, before you start paying him $20 million a year, because I think that's what he jumps to the year after in 2026. I know there's a lot of guys that are injured, and you could always have more pitching, and I want Kikuchi to be back. I think that's very important. But I really struggle with the idea of spending like money on a starting pitcher this year when your lineup, to me, is still the ultimate problem. Because I just
Dana Brown doesn't really deserve credit for this because he's only been here for, what, two seasons now, whatever it's been? But they do keep finding guys. But they haven't found someone to play left field, and they haven't found someone to play center field, and they haven't found someone to play first base. And, yeah, Jacob Melton is a nice prospect, and Bryce Matthews is a nice prospect. But, you know, there's this Gusto kid who they wanted to bring up this year they talked about today who is a pitcher who, you know, Dana Brown said that they wanted to bring him up, but they just ended up not needing him. For whatever reason, the Astros can develop pitching and they can acquire pitching. So I don't think they should spend money on pitching this year. Like, it's just they – besides replacing Kikuchi if he's not the guy, you have to fix your lineup. It's the problem.
You need outfield depth. Jake Meyers going into the year. You knew that wasn't going to work. You knew it. Everyday player? Like, Duvall made more sense as an everyday player, but even then you're like, it doesn't make that much sense as an everyday player, you know? And they went into the year telling us that Jake Meyers was going to be the guy. Why?
He's your fourth guy.
He's a great fourth guy.
Yeah.
He's not a starter. He's not. Duvall is closer to a starter than Meyers is. I don't understand why they were trying to push that on us. And, I mean, look how it got them. Look where it got them. Their lack of outfield depth was an issue. They knew about it going into this past year, and they didn't do anything about the outfield, which was very surprising. Hell, they didn't do anything about it the year before. They brought back Brantley, mm-hmm. which was stupid. It was.
I mean, they have ignored, like, major parts of this of issues in this lineup for 2 years.
Right. The
and
depth
can't continue that.
The depth is something that needs to be better, and they talk all the time about how, hey, we know what we can do with pitchers, but we need to keep bats. Well, you traded a couple of theoretical bats for Yusei Kikuchi, and that trade did work out. They're flexing about it now, but I don't think you can flex until you've got Kikuchi's name on the dotted line. Maybe they feel really good about it. I would feel pretty good about it just given how good Kikuchi looked here, but, I mean, he didn't even pitch in this series.
Exactly. If he doesn't come back, then the trade to me is a wash.
He
helped you get there, but he didn't pitch in the postseason.
It's as if he never existed.
Yes. They need to sign him. He said he wants to come back. He's not going to be super expensive. Whatever you were paying Justin Verlander of the remaining contract for the Mets, like Kikuchi should be an Astro to me, no question about it, next year.
When they pulled Hunter Brown, is this crazy to think that Kikuchi was the person you should put in for Hunter Brown? And I understand that you're thinking, hey, you got to get to game three. But at that moment in time, you're down 1-0 when you pull Hunter Brown.
I'm going to say no, because against the Tigers, I would have felt comfortable with Eric Geddy in game three. Like, with the way, like, it worked out. I mean, until Presley came in, Abreu did a great job. But if they would have gone to Abreu for, see, the thing is, like, you wouldn't bring Kikuchi in that scenario, because there's a guy on base and you're yanking Hunter Brown for a reason. So, like, you could have put him in the eighth if you wanted to. But I just don't think you burned your starter that day. So it probably just didn't make sense with the way it played out. At the same time, if they would have done it, I would not have hated it. But he needs to be – he should be priority number, I guess, two this offseason. Bregman one, Kikuchi two.
He's Joe. I'm Paul. Sean's behind the glass. You want to weigh in on a season-ending loss for the Houston Astros and what's next? 713-780-3776 to call. To text, you can join us on YouTube at ESPN Houston and on Twitch at ESPN 975. Stay put.
It's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Paul and Joe inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
The infield in a 1-1 game, still nobody out. You've got the great Jose Altuve at the plate. Popped up toward the roof at Minute Maid Park. Coming over is Veerling. He makes the play. Here comes the winner. Here's the throw. Here's the play. Scores, and it's 2-1 Astros.
Didn't sound so happy there, did he?
He doesn't. They're totally different broadcasts when the Astros are doing something positive.
Baseball maybe needs more national broadcasters, but there really aren't that many. It's generally a local guy that they use for these Michael Kay was on the call there. That moment was truly awesome.
That was electric in the stadium.
It was. I mean, look, I gave the crowd a little bit of crap for game one. They did show up in the ninth. That moment, holy crap. You couldn't hear anything. It was – I'm proud of the crowd for getting alive for that moment. And when that happened, you thought they were done. And it's crazy because, again, the Astros offense had scored three runs to that point, one on this little rinky-dink ground ball in the ninth inning by Yiner Diaz that barely got through the infield, the other on a ball that should have been caught by the catcher for a force out at home plate on a fielder's choice earlier that inning. And then that happens. I couldn't believe Pena took off and scored. And I mean, it did feel like just an uppercut to the face of the Tigers. And you're thinking, oh, the Astros are back. The Astros are inevitable. All that jazz.
I'm sitting there. I was like, oh, this is over.
I did too.
They're going to the ALDS. This is the moment where everything just, the momentum has swung. The Astros are going to win this game 2-1, whatever it is. Like, they're not, they might not blow it open, but they're going to win this game, and then they're going to win game three. I mean, you've got a kid on the mound for the Tigers in that moment that has pitched in, like, what, three Major League Baseball games? Whatever. I mean, he is a rookie as rookie gets, and they just couldn't take advantage in a bigger way. And then that's where, like, I don't even know who I blame the most for yesterday's game. I think it's Presley.
Yeah, we have a text from the 409. Am I the only one who got a sick feeling in their stomach when Presley started running out onto the field yesterday? Nope, I had it too. Part of it was magnified by the ridiculous intro that they are giving to a setup man. They play, you can run on, run on time, whatever that song is by Johnny Cash. I'm going to cut you down. And then everyone's flashing the flashlights on their phones and all that. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, as soon as I heard that, I knew he was coming in. First strikeout happens. I felt a little bit better, but then he walks and then a double or whatever. Oof.
So for me, I wasn't able to like watch the broadcast, but I was following along on the app. And so I had set it up to where it gives me scoring updates. So every time there's a scoring play, I get a chirp on my phone. And so I was at a point to where I could like stop and just like only watch the app though. And once I saw that only one run scored and then Tucker was up and then he grounds into a double play and then you get the alert now pitching for the Astros, Ryan Presley. I was like, oh, this is not like the vibes were not good. I
totally forgot about Tucker grounding into the double play too.
That so just personally, I was already like, I don't know, probably 50-50. Like this could just be utter disaster or boom, game tied, like series tied. Let's have a game three.
Yeah, I also want to. I was hoping to hear an injury update from the Astros today on Kyle Tucker, because poor effort, man. Poor effort on that double play. He's lollygagging down to first base. Like if that's Jeremy Pena, as much grief as we gave him today, and I'm not sure.
Hustles. Pena doesn't deserve much grief today because Pena he got home and he gave you the go-ahead run. That was a ballsy play.
But, like, if he's running to first base on that play and he's sprinting down the line, like, you never know what's going to happen on the throw.
I'm with you in the playoffs as well.
Tucker is just – it's not running hard. So I'm kind of was hoping to get, like, his leg is still half broken kind of update to make me feel a little bit better on him. Because as much as I love Kyle Tucker, I think I'm out a little bit. I think I'm. I don't.
As much as I love Kyle Tucker, I think I'm out. That's a sentence.
I lean towards the trade Tucker at this point. I know you're not with me, but
I just don't think you're going to get in return what you think you'll get.
I know.
On paper, if this is a video game, yeah, you do great.
Yeah,
this ain't a video game.
He just doesn't perform when you need him most, and they need guys that are clutch, and he ain't got it.
Also, missing the gene. Also not clutch, also doesn't have it, Ryan Presley. Interesting question from Chris from Sam Houston. So does Presley get bought out of his contract versus paying him next year? I'd start a GoFundMe for that. Now, I don't know what they're going to be able to do if they buy him out of the contract, you know? They've already bought out Jose Abreu and Ryan
Montero.
Rafael Montero, yeah, a name I don't want to remember.
I mean, he might be back next year, dude.
Oh, don't do that to me. Don't do that. He's never going to be what you paid him for.
I think Ryan Pressly gets traded.
Yeah, I think Pressly. I think it's most likely he gets traded.
Who's trading for him? Who would trade for that?
Like the Baltimore Orioles. Like, there's teams. Yes. Paul, there's teams with absolute train wrecks of
he's better.
Yes.
I mean, look the New York Yankees, Clay Holmes, 13 blown saves this year. The Pirates have a closer with 9 blown saves this year. Now Pressly has 8.
I don't think Presley's a closer anymore. I don't think anyone thinks he's a closer anymore. I don't think anyone should think he's a closer anymore.
I think if you're trading for him, you're trading for him with the idea of, like, he didn't work as an eighth inning guy. But we can give him some confidence, give him some scratches. You know, he's a rescue. Okay, not only are you rescuing Ryan Pressly's career if you're the team that makes him the closer again, he can rescue you.
No, though, because this is the team that rescues pitchers. No team rescues pitchers more than the Houston Astros rescue pitchers.
Oh, but they hurt his feelings.
Yeah.
I mean, look at...
If that's all it took, then you're going to bring him to New York? That'll go great. He has one blown save. I'm sure that the people in New York will handle that fine.
And look what happened this offseason. Like, Craig Kimbrel, didn't he get another, like, $8 million plus contract and he got DFA'd?
Yeah, guess who paid him?
The Orioles.
That's how desperate they were. Craig Kimbrel hasn't been good for, like, 5 years, and he got an $8 million contract.
You are not going to get anything that helps you now for Pressly.
Yes, but...
No, but agree with that.
No, wrong. No, don't agree. You know what you get? You get $14 million of cap relief by dumping his ass for a middling relief pitcher.
Is that how it works? I'll be honest. I don't.
Yeah, okay. Just the contract's off.
The contract is just completely gone.
Okay. And now you're paying some double-A guy.
Yeah, so honestly, trade some double-A for some double-A prospect that was once good, that's had Tommy John twice. For Ryan Pressly.
No, I don't want another. No, I don't want somebody else like that.
I don't want Tommy John. I was with you until time.
Come
Tommy
on. John.
Just $14 million flows away, and it goes into Alex Bregman's pocket. That's how this trade works. It goes out the door and in a pocket.
I agree with you with that. That the reason to trade Pressly is just to get, A, get him out of my face, B, get the money out of Jim Crane's
See, so now that you're looking at Ryan Pressly the same way that I am, what are you getting? No, you're probably trading something to get rid of Ryan Pressly.
I don't think that's true.
For that contract, I do.
It's a 1 year. 1 year, $14 million. Again, a guy who sucks for 5 years has got eight.
We've seen Jim Crane.
Montero got 36 guaranteed.
Like, where I'll give Jim Crane credit, we saw him this season take two contracts that were absolutely the worst in baseball, or two of the worst in baseball, and he ate them. If you call the Baltimore Orioles and they said, we'll give you a relief pitcher who can pitch in the sixth inning for you, and you have to pay $4 million for Ryan Pressly's $14 million deal, I think Jim Crane would say yes at this point. And I would say bravo to you for eating $4 million to get that guy off the roster.
I wouldn't say bravo for eating $4 million. Bravo for eating the Abreu and Montero contract. $4 million, that's nothing.
It's one thing to lie to the people you're trading with and convincing them that the thing you're trying to sell them isn't effective. It's another thing, if you're that other organization that's run by smart people, to say, yeah, we're so desperate, we're going to try to make this work after trying to make that work with Kimbrel.
There will be a team in baseball. there are a lot of dumbs in the sport.
I think the Orioles are that desperate because they're a team that, yes, young, on the rise, everyone loves it, fantastic. All their guys, they don't have to pay any of their guys yet. In back-to-back years, they've won zero playoff
games. I don't think it's just Baltimore. Like, I would not be shocked if he's a Cub. A team that gave Hector Neris a 2-year, $18 million contract had to buy him out.
After seeing, though, how Neris worked out away from Houston, why would you do that?
But there will be some dumb team that does it.
That's the thing. You're asking why a smart team takes them.
Yeah, we're looking for the dumbs, Paul.
That's the key. You pull up those ERAs from 2019
on. How, How dumb are we talking? This is a real smooth brain operation you're thinking about here.
I mean, this organization gave Rafael Montero $38 million.
Yeah. I mean, maybe
this one, the one we think is smart.
Someone on the Twitch, I can't pronounce your name. Maybe Brent Strom thinks he can fix him in Arizona.
Yeah.
I mean, now their owner will publicly tell you that he's an idiot. Yeah. He just did. Did you hear that clip?
I think so, yeah.
The Jordan Montgomery, he's like, it's my fault. That was a bad contract.
That was bad.
I like this owner. So, you know he's a dumb. So, maybe he'll take pressure.
Yeah, but no, self-aware people are generally the least dumb of all. Chris from Sam Houston, okay, I was wrong. Chandler Rome says no buyout for Presley, and he has a no-trade clause.
Yeah, the no-trade clause, that's the biggest. That's actually the hurdle here. That probably limits.
I did enjoy this conversation that we had before we got to that little obstacle in the room.
Yeah.
Well. Listen, I didn't know. I'm just entertaining options because you gotta have to do something next year. I'll say it. I never want to see Presley again. He's done a lot of great things for this organization, but I'm over it. Bye.
It's no disrespect to him, but like
it is disrespect. I do not respect him in a big spot.
You gotta move on.
I do mean a little bit of disrespect.
Yeah.
When I say. Wait, you can't handle being the eighth inning guy, so now you just are a terrible reliever?
It's a lower stakes situation, and what happened yesterday? Oh, you lost the game? Okay.
And that's why people like get on Joe Espada, like, well, it shouldn't have been him in the eighth. Okay, so put him in the seventh. He's going to do the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, at this point, like, I don't think...
He's a mop-up guy now.
Yeah, it didn't matter where you put him. It felt like it was going to go poorly. So thank you for your service. But, see ya.
Joe just saluted the camera.
He also used Michael K's catchphrase.
He did. I don't like that. I don't like that.
Michael K has infected us.
The show has not been therapeutic, but if you feel like it might be for you, 713-780-3776 to call in to text. And the Astros season is done after a 5-2 loss in Game 2 of the wild card to the gritty kitties, the Detroit Tigers. I guess we got dust busted, huh? Damn.
Yeah. I'll never forget that moment, though.
Did you bring it today?
I should have, but no, I didn't. Galan and George, stay put.
This is ESPN 97.5.